Let's open in prayer this morning as we come around the Word of God and receive from the Spirit of God. He speaks to our hearts. The Spirit of God is wanting to show us the truth. The Bible says He leads us into all truth and teaches us all things. He's wanting to show us, and there are specific things He wants to show us about the victorious church. The victorious church, praise the Lord. So praise the Lord. Lord, we thank You. We thank You, Lord. I ask, Father, that every person here will be open to Your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're looking at Victorious Church Part 3 this morning. And we have covered a few things so far. We've seen that God so valued the church that He paid for it with His own blood. We won't turn to that, but we know that Acts 20 talks about that. And that was referring specifically to the local congregation, as well, of course, as the church universal. But we know that God sees it as valuable. And so we should also see it as valuable as well. We saw that God has given gifts to the church. He has given ministries to the church. People need to really value that type of thing. Because if they do, then that's where God can bring good things into their life. God wants people growing and being perfected in the faith. Last time we looked at our victorious position, what God, Christ has made us and what He wants for the church. And He has put all things under His feet, and that makes it so that our feet are also over the things of the enemy. He's put us into a victorious position. The Bible says that we've been placed, or we've been seated in heavenly places with Christ. The church as a sanctuary is a help for people. It's a place of value. And if you don't value it, you won't get anything out of it. But we know that God sees it as very, very valuable, very, very important. Let's have a look at what we did look at last time in Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. We saw a prophecy here, a prophecy related to the church and where it's going to be in the future. If we were to look around our society now, our secular society in Australia, there seems to be, if you looked around, there seems to be little influence of biblical things, little influence of the church. And one thing that we need to say and understand is that we walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, what we are looking at is the Word of God, things that are eternal, and we take out of the Word what God has said is going to happen and going to come to pass, and we believe that, despite what our society might say. And, you know, there's all types of doctrines that the media is pushing out and so on about religion and about Christianity, etc. And it's wrong. It's wrong. You know, they don't value the church at all. They certainly don't see it as an important thing for people to fellowship or to listen to the Bible or things like that. But we must see things in the way that the Word of God shows things. And we're looking at Ephesians chapter 5. And in this, there is that prophecy. We'll start with verse 25 of Ephesians 5. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Notice, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. If you think about that, Christ would not have given himself for something that's not valuable. You understand that? He would not have given himself for something that's not valuable. Verse 26, "that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." So we see that there is a future event, the presenting of the glorious church to Christ. It has not happened yet, but the presenting of the glorious church to Christ, here's a prophecy, and it's showing that it has to be a church that doesn't have spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, here's the key thing about this glorious church. Verse 26 tells us that it has to be sanctified and cleansed with the washing of the water by the word. In other words, that future glorious church that he is going to present to himself must be a word church. It's not going to be one that is based on the current doctrine of the day or the secular worldly way of thinking. It's going to be one which is based on the thinking of the Word of God, on believing that Word and acting by faith on that Word. So the people of this church that has been washed by the water of the Word and making it into a glorious church. Why is it glorious? Well, God's word is light. See, the entrance of thy word giveth light, the Bible tells us. So clearly, a glorious church is a word church. A word church. So keep that in mind. A glorious church must be a word church. It's not going to be a church that neglects the word of God. It's not going to be a church that puts it aside or explains away doctrines. Or says, well, that doctrine's too hard, so therefore I'll put that aside. You know, the sodomite issue is very, very much a great doctrine in secular society. And a lot of churches are backing away from that and thinking that they can't really say anything about that. You know, a glorious church that's a word church will not have fear of man, will not have fear of the devil, but will preach it as it is, in the Word of God. And this is very clear and something we have to put into our hearts, that I'm a part of a Word church, the victorious church. Because if you don't believe the Bible, how's faith going to come into your heart? And if you've got a whole congregations who don't really believe the Bible, then that's not going to be what God is desiring in these scriptures that we're looking at here. Now, what type of people are going to be with Christ when he returns? What type of people are with Christ himself? What type of people are going to be joined together with Christ? Is it going to be the backslidden? Well, clearly not. Is it going to be the unbelieving? Clearly not. Let's have a look at Revelation 17. Revelation 17, 12 to 14. And this tells us what type of people are with Christ. So it gives us a standard, doesn't it? You know, the Bible shows us the standards by which we are to aim for and which we are to seek in God and to stand for. Revelation 17, verses 12 to 14. And notice it says, "And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." Clearly, in the world system, people are giving their agreeance, their mind, and their power and strength unto things which are anti-God. And you can see in verse 13, it states that. Verse 14, "These shall make war with the Lamb." Well, if they make war with Jesus, they make war with us too, okay? "And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him..." Are you with Christ? Yes. Are you with Christ? You say, "Yes, I'm with Christ." "They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." That's what the Lord Jesus Christ sees as people who are victorious. You know, those that stand with the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is, as it says there, Lord of lords and King of kings. You know, we are the lords and kings that he's talking about there, because we've been made kings and priests through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 1 tells us that. Now, we are called, we are chosen, we are faithful. And faithful, we don't see much of that in society today. We don't see much of that in the churches. There are a lot of people who once went to a church. I've met many of them in Geelong, once went, but now no longer go. Well, how is Christ going to view that? Are they even saved if they devalue in their eyes and in their heart the things of God? Now we have to be seeing ourselves as called, chosen and faithful to the Word of God, faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just an airy-fairy thing, it's faithful to what He has said and what He has done, and stick with Him no matter what. We must not be sight-oriented, we have to be faith-oriented, word-oriented. Praise the Lord. What type of church is going to be a glorious church? We see that in Mark 16. Let's look at that first of all. Mark 16. Because I'm going to touch on another prophecy about the church in a minute, but I have to lay down a bit of a foundation first. Look at Mark 16, verses 14 to 20. And the foundation that I want to lay down here this morning is that the church is called to preach the gospel. The church is called to preach the gospel, and therefore anyone that's in the church must be ready to be mobilised to be preaching the gospel. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that every person in the church is a pulpit preacher, although that is necessary, remember that. You need to have people that can preach and teach from the pulpit, there's no doubt about that, and the Lord has given those ministries into the church. But what it does mean is that the Lord is going to call upon everyone in the body of Christ to use their resources, their time, their effort into the mission of the church preaching the gospel to the world. Okay? And it's something that we have to keep in mind, because if we don't, then we're going to be just thinking, well, I'll be right, I don't have to do anything, all I have to do is come to church and that's it. Well, it's not the case. In God's eyes, He has given you things that He wants you to use. He's given you gifts. He's given you a way to go. And He elaborates and states here about the church. We'll look at Mark 11, starting from verse 14. Now, verse 14 shows that Christ is absolutely against hardness in heart and unbelief. Okay? And then we'll lead right down to verse 20. Afterward, He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. Okay, so the Lord Jesus Christ hates unbelief and hardness of heart. Remember that. It's very important. So a glorious church will not be one that's filled with unbelief and hardness of heart. All right? Verse 15, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Okay, so we see that the gospel must be preached to every creature, talking about every creature that can believe on the word, can believe on Christ. So it's clear that old creatures must be changed to be new creatures in Christ. New creatures. And how does that happen? By them believing the gospel that's being preached. Okay? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. There is no in-between. You can't have a person who is half saved, half damned. It's not the case. It's either you believe or you don't believe. And there are many that are on the road to destruction because they do not believe the gospel. They do not believe that Jesus came and paid the price on the cross, died, raised from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of God interceding for His people. They don't believe that. But we know if we've believed, then we have been saved. And if we've received Christ as our Saviour, then He has saved us for a purpose. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 17 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming what? The word with signs following. So right at the very beginning, Jesus establishes what type of church he wants to have. And that is the word, that a word type church where the Lord can work with his people and confirm the word with signs following. And that's what will happen to those that believe, but you have to believe. And so the church must be a word church with signs following. A word church with signs following. Now, we know that if we've believed on Christ, it's not just when we're saved, we now go to heaven and that's it. No, when you're saved, you enter into eternal life. The Bible says you're born anew, you're born again, you enter into eternal life, and there are many benefits in salvation. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, and so on. So we know that, for example, healing must be in salvation. If it's not, where is it? If it's not, where is it? And if you believe healing is for today, then it has to be in what was paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. Same with prosperity, same with all types of benefits that can come through the salvation that the Lord has paid for. So we see here, and if you were to examine this yourself, this whole section in Mark 16 talks about a church of the miraculous, a church that believes in signs following the word, church that is going forward in Christ. Now, it is absolutely no coincidence that in today's society and in today's churches, this section of Scripture, the end part of Mark 16, is cast into a doubt category in a lot of modern versions. So it's no coincidence that modernism has said, well, that section of the Bible is not really there. A lot of manuscripts leave it out. Now, by the way, that's a lie. That's a lie, and it's a direct attack by the devil against the church and against the mission of the church. So we need to keep that in mind. Have a look also at Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. Now, we're part of the body of Christ, and the Bible says we should walk after, follow Christ, take up our cross and follow him. We know that. And the Lord shows us that he preached a gospel. And of course, if you understand what that gospel had in it, then it must have had things like forgiveness and healing and deliverance in it. Well, the Bible says in Acts 10 that he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So we know that there must be healing in the gospel, for example, as well as forgiveness. Notice what it says in Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So what we see here is that Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Clearly, linking people or getting people to believe that he was the Messiah, that he had come to deliver, he was the one that was fulfilling, and that they were to repent of their sins and to believe the gospel, believe that he was the one, and that he is now preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom of God talks about God as king, and we as his servants. We are born again, and we become part of his family. We are children that serve our Father. Praise the Lord. Now notice that Jesus went about preaching this gospel, and he said, repent ye and believe the gospel. And we know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. I don't believe that the gospel has changed. I don't believe that this message has changed. And certainly the gospel that we saw had to be preached in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Obviously, that's the same gospel. The good news that Christ came, paid the price for sin, and took the curse upon himself. The Bible says he was made a curse for us. So everything connected with sin that was a curse was Jesus took upon himself. So we know that that gospel hasn't changed. It's just the gospel has been preached when it was preached by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was pointing to his future crucifixion. And when we look back, we're pointing back to the crucifixion and resurrection. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ has not changed. He's the head of the body today, and the gospel is to be preached today as it was back then. And so we have to be people that see, all right, we are part of the body of Christ. We know that we are a word, we are meant to be a word church, and the word church is what is preached to be the glorious church, what is prophesied to be the glorious church in Ephesians 5. And so we see that there is another prophecy, if we look at it in Matthew 24, verse 14, which really points to the end time church and what it is to be. It cannot be a wimpy church that's barely getting by, that is hardly victorious. The church that God wants is a victorious one that is able to preach far and wide and will have a success. Matthew 24, let's look at verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom, do you think that's the same gospel that Jesus preached and the same gospel that he's talking about Mark 16? This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This is important for us to get hold of. There is a gospel that has to be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Now some might say, well, the gospel has gone to all nations. We have to see that that's not quite correct what they're saying there. What we know is that there is a gospel that is being preached that doesn't have everything in it. It doesn't have what I would call the full gospel. There's a lot of people that might say you need to believe on Christ and get forgiveness and you'll go to heaven. And they completely neglect everything else that Jesus paid for in that gospel, in that salvation. So the type of church that we talked about in Ephesians 5, a word church, and what we see about the Lord working with believers and confirming the word, means that you can't just have parts of the word and say, well, this is it. It has to be the whole of the word of God. And this gospel, talking about the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ was right there preaching and had in it healing and deliverance and forgiveness, that has to be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. That has not happened yet. And certainly there are whole nations closed to Christ. For example, you've got a lot of the Muslim nations very much closed to Christ at this stage. But this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Many may not hear, many may not believe it, but it's going to be preached, it's going to be presented, it's going to be taught, and then shall the end come. So here's a prophecy that we can say, well, it's a very important one. We haven't seen it come to pass yet, because there has to be a word church that's going to be preaching the gospel right across in all the world. And let's face it, in our current day, there is the technology to do so. The technology to be able to encompass the whole of the world. Even amongst the closed nations, The internet is still being received in there. And you probably know that they use all types of aspects of communication technology today, right across the world. Even amongst the poorest of the nations, that's the case. Sadly, at the moment, a lot of the communications technology is used to pump out devilish things. You know, the devil's agendas and so on. Well, that's going to change. And we have to have faith that there is going to be a change that will affect our society in a very dramatic way. And we want to be part of that. Okay, so to be part of that, we've first of all got to believe that the Word of God is true and take it for what it's saying. God wants a word church. That word church has got to be victorious. We see that in, for example, Mark 16. And that word type church is going to be one that will preach in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Now, sure, the word has gone out quite a lot, but it's got to be dramatically increased, and there's got to be a lot more believing of the gospel than we're presently seeing. We're going to touch on more of those type of things in the future. We have to see that God's salvation is more than just I'm forgiven and I'm going to heaven. And that's fine. You'll get people into the kingdom of God in that, but it's not going to be a victorious position if that's all you're believing. And let's have a look at a couple of scriptures. Psalm 68 verse 19. Psalm 68 verse 19. The Lord has a very clear mission for the church to accomplish. We're talking about both the local and the church universal. Obviously, at the moment, the church is very divided in its believing. There's much worldliness in the churches. There's much unbelief about doctrine and so on. Hardness of heart about all types of things. We saw before that Jesus hates unbelief and hardness of heart. In Psalm 68 verse 19, notice what it says here, 68 verse 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. So here he links benefits, the benefits that God loads us with, he links it with salvation itself. And we know that if we're saved, we are redeemed from the curse of the law. And what's in that curse? All types of things that are the result of sin. So see here that benefits and salvation are connected. Okay? The God of our salvation is alive today. He's in your heart if you believed on Christ. He has benefits to daily load you with. Daily load you with. He wants his people to be strong and healed and free and forgiven and delivered. And that's a word position to have. That's something that we must take hold of and believe. Look at Psalm 103 verse 2. Psalm 103 verse 2. You might say, well, there's so many people that don't believe that, for example, healing is in salvation. They think that it was just back in the times of the apostles and that's it. Well, that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that this gospel, the same gospel that Jesus was preaching, this gospel we preached in all the world, this gospel of the kingdom. Psalm 103. And we'll look at verses 2 to 5, and you can see some of the benefits that God has. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all these benefits. You'll see there's a colon after benefits there, which means after this I'm going to list a few of the benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now some people just stop there. There's forgiveness in Christ, and that's true. His blood washes us from all sin. and there's forgiveness in Christ. But there's more, isn't there? Who healeth all thy diseases. And we know that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed. And Jesus took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. We've talked before that that destruction includes things like poverty and all types of things that would try to destroy your life. So God wants you to be delivered. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. God doesn't want you tormented. He doesn't want you feeling as though your life is going to amount to nothing, etc. Verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. That talks about strength. Can you see that some of the benefits that God has for his people, it touches on not just spiritual, it touches on the physical as well. Okay? In fact, it's spirit, soul and body. That's what the full gospel is all about. And these are the benefits of salvation. And this has to be preached as the gospel, full gospel. The gospel, you are brought into the kingdom of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You're forgiven, you're saved, you're delivered, you're healed, you're prospered by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And this is so very important for us to get hold of. Praise the Lord. So we are part of the body of Christ. We are part of what is going to happen in the future. And that is that God is preparing a word church. He's sanctifying it and cleansing it with the washing of the water of his word, that he might present it sometime in the future, present it to himself as a glorious church. Okay? And that glorious church has to be in existence before he returns, before he comes for that glorious church. That glorious church must be a word church. It must be a church that is ready to preach the word with signs, because the word has to be believed. And if you look at that list in Mark 16, you see that there's deliverance from devils, there's healing, there's strength, there's protection, okay? And there's also, obviously, forgiveness, because you can be saved. Again, not damned. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for the benefits you've given us as we've believed on Christ, as we have seen who we are in Christ. We are victorious. As we understand the benefits of salvation, as we understand what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in redeeming us from the curse of the law. I praise you and thank you. I thank you for the people here. I thank you for those you're bringing in. I praise you, Lord, that you are doing a wonderful work in this city and in this church. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, we open our hearts up to hear from the Spirit of God. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name.